mantra of the American dream is to advance yourself with hard work, ingenuity, innovation. You can have it all. The frightening reality of the gospel. Jesus does call us to give up everything we have. And he may tell any one of us to sell all of our possessions and give them to the poor. But we don't believe this. If we form Jesus to look like us and be who we want him to be, then even when we gather together and sing our praises and lift our hands, the reality is we are not worshiping the Jesus of the Bible. We are worshiping and singing to ourselves. We have a master who demands radical obedience. A mission that warrants radical urgency. And we do not have time to waste our lives living out a Christian spin on the American dream. The most glorious reason you exist is for the proclamation of the glory of God to the ends of the earth. And it's more than having a nice life. It's about giving our lives and our families and our jobs for the proclamation of the glory of Christ to the ends of the earth. If we're going to live for the sake of 4.5 billion lost people and thousands and thousands and thousands of kids who are dying every day because they don't have food on their table, then that means radical change in our lives and our families. Church. Church, we are plan A, and there is no plan B.
All right, so David Platt, I'll tell you what, I didn't know much about David Platt until I started to talk with Andy a bit about him and started to learn a little more about him. And really, he is a fantastic speaker, and he's kind of the author of this radical series that we've been spending some time talking about. Before we kind of get into that, I figure, and guys, I don't mind telling you, I'm nervous. I speak in front of people all the time. I've spoken in front of 200 freshmen on the first day of school with no problems, with no issues. Ask my wife, she'll tell you, I've been pretty nervous all week long. But I think it's also important that whatever I'm going to say, and again, this is God speaking through me. I just open my mouth and hopefully, you know, he's just going to fill the room with his word. It's important to say it because, you know what, I'll tell you, since I found I was going to do this, I feel like I've come under a lot of attack the last couple weeks. And I don't think that's a coincidence. You know, I think that is Satan 100% saying, oh, you're going to do this? Nope. And I don't mind telling you, I got down quite a few times. And I mean, I've questioned myself so many times. I'm like, and honestly, I'm like, wow, how did I end up being able to talk into this microphone and speak to you fine folks here on a Sunday? I don't know how. But you know what? Actually, I do know how. For the glory of God that happened. You know, but Satan wanted so hard the last couple weeks to tell me, No. But you know what? I'm here because God has something for all of us that we need to hear and understand. All right, so we're going to start with radical discipleship. Oh, look, that worked. I'm so happy about that. And guys, by the way, just so you know, I move around a lot. Just based on how I teach, I move around a lot. The teens know this. I move around a lot, and I'm loud. I make a lot of noise. I'm a little awkward, but so hopefully that doesn't get to be too distracting for all of us today. But I figure we should start off with who I am and who I've been. Because you know what? I mean, I see you guys all the time, but I mean, I don't know, shy of my wife, how many of you really know me? So Andy's like, so-and-so, Trey, dude, you don't know me, man, I'm sorry. Guys, teens, I spent a lot of time with you still don't know exactly all about me. Let me just tell you guys a little bit. First of all, I've been a Christian for a little over 10 years now, and I always believed there was God. I believed in God, but you know, I was one of those people's like, church, religion, it's okay. I believe in God, I'm a nice person. I do nice things. That's all I need. That was me. Okay, that was me. Well, I was raised Catholic, and I don't need to go much more than that. I was raised Catholic, but my parents were very strict in how they brought me up. And I'll tell you what, like they had me under their thumb. I did nothing wrong until I was 18 years old. I did nothing wrong. Again, my mom might tell you otherwise as well. But I didn't go to parties. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't do anything. And some of the things that you know, parents might have an issue with teens nowadays, like I never did because I was allowed to go nowhere. So my life consisted of, I got up, I went to school, did all my homework. I was Mr. Straight A student, did all my homework, and the teachers all left me. I'd go home, and I'd stay at the house until I went to bed, repeat the next day, and go nowhere. So, fast forward to I turn 18, and I graduate high school. And I go to college, 2 hours away. Mom and Dad are over here. I'm over here. You know, and it wasn't, and back then, that was 1995, so, you know, cell phones weren't so big, you know, so, you know, if Mom wanted to get a hold of me, Mom had to call, like, the residence hall I was living in, they'd have to patch through a message, and maybe I'd answer the phone, and maybe I wouldn't, and so Mom and Dad are way over here, and I'm over here, and guess what I did? Took a nosedive, because, you know what, you got all this freedom, right? And so, and there are all these people, and I went to the University of Akron, okay, and there's 28,000 people on the campus of the University of Akron. Okay, do you think I got in with some really good people? Nope. So, start off, I'm like, wow, you know, I'm all by myself, I can make my own decisions, I can do all these things. And so then came the alcohol, and then came the parties, and then came the, well, wait, we got internet? Came the pornography. And then came the, there are strip clubs in Akron? Okay. Guys, I was making all of these horrible decisions. I mean, just horrible decisions, right? Because notice, I didn't have a relationship with God. I believe there was a God, but I didn't have a relationship with him. My parents are way over here. My parents are not going to tell me what to do when I'm over here. And there's all of this temptation, right? All of this temptation for me to get into. And guys, I did. I got into bad relationships. I made bad decisions. You know, I still thought I was a pretty good guy, but I was doing all these things that I just plain old know I shouldn't do. And so then, as things kind of rolled along, and you guys know this, and I've talked to the teens about this, it's kind of a snowball effect, right? It's like you start off doing this one thing wrong, and then the next thing you know, boom, you're down at the bottom of this hill and this little snowball has gotten so big. So I started drinking more, got into bad relationships. When I got into those bad relationships, that caused me to drink even more. So guess where I went? I went to the bar every night. Now, those of you who've gone to college, college classes are not easy. So yeah, right, Cody? Cody's like, nope. Okay, but going out to the bar and drinking every night and then trying to get up for a 7:45 chem lab didn't work out so well. That's where I spent my time, right? So was I doing my homework? Nope. Was I studying for my test? Nope. Almost failed out one semester. I want you to understand, I was a straight A guy in high school, and I got A's and B's every semester, and then as things just whew, started to snowball, there I was. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to graduate. I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. Guys, and so I almost didn't graduate, but here's the deal, and I knew this now. I don't believe in coincidences, okay? And I believe in a God with a plan. Even though I didn't really care to hear it maybe back then, God had a plan for me, and I was going down the wrong path, and then things started to change. But I want you guys to follow along with me here. What if I continue down that path? Well, if I continue down that path, do I graduate college? Nope. Do I become a teacher? Nope. Do I meet Shelly at Buckeye Trail High School? She wasn't a student, she was visiting. Okay. Do I meet Shelly there? Nope. Okay. Do we date? Do we get married? Do we have the beautiful kids we have now? Nope, 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 nope. Do I lose my job at Buckeye Trail because I ran out of money? Do I go to Philo? Nope, 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 nope. And do I end up here at this church? Nope. Now, I may have ended up somewhere else doing something, I don't know. But God had a plan way back then. Okay, way back then. Still, God had a plan. Okay, so let me go a little bit here. Let me tell you a little bit about my salvation. And it's interesting how it started out, right? Because, you know, I got out of college. You know, I did. I kind of straightened up a little bit. I got by just enough that one semester. You know, I was pulling straight C minuses. Woo! You know, and I had my physical chemistry class. Anybody here ever take P-Chem? Anybody ever? You don't want to. Don't bother. No, don't ever bother. But I was taking that class, and like, this is how you know you've hit like rock bottom, because we had the final exam, and then they don't want to list you by name to show you the scores, because that's a violation of confidentiality, but they list you by scores, like your last four of your social security numbers, and the scores are listed. And I go up and I'm looking for mine, and again, this is my bad semester now, where I'm like at the bar every night, and I'm like, 29% on the final exam. No, Cody, that's bad, Cody. That's not good. That's not good. No, woo, no, that's not good, okay? So guys, but you know what? I still managed, because the class was hard. I got a C minus, but anyway. So guys, I still managed to eke through. And then the following semester, and again, this is how things kind of work with God. The following semester was student teaching. I could not be out drinking every night when I was going to be student teaching. So I realized I just had to plain old stop, and I had to focus on student teaching. Got through that, graduated, and the rest a little bit is kind of history. Okay, but then I graduate, and I'm doing my job and all this stuff, and you know, I'm still doing a lot of the same stuff I was doing. I wasn't at the bar every night, but you know what? Wouldn't stop me from drinking alone in my apartment. Think about that. Okay, wouldn't stop me from drinking alone in my apartment. Wouldn't stop me, and guys, I don't mind. I mean, this is kind of like, you know, bearing it all, but it's okay. You know, hey, I come home from work, turn on the computer. Guess what was on the computer? Pornography. Guess how long it was on the computer? Till I went to bed. That was me. Okay, that was me. And then I met this girl, right? This girl, she's sitting in the back right now. But I met this girl, and she said, and she's a pretty girl, okay? And so she said, we kind of met each other, and she said, do you want to go to church? I was like, pretty girl asking me to go to church? Okay, I'll go to church. And so I started going to church. First I went for the girl, but then I ended up going for my God, right? Because along the way in spending that time there, you know, at first it was like, hey, she went, and if I don't go to church, she may not date me anymore, so I better go. And along the way, Lord, you know, I found the Lord. And actually, he found me as I'm sitting right there. So guys, from then on out, I started to go, and then I met people. Shelley was one of the first people who kind of brought me into the fold, helped me understand who Jesus Christ was. Ken Blood at Friendship Baptist Church, he was the guy who baptized me in the process of me getting saved. Since then, guys, because it's a continual process, you know, Andy, Tom, all you guys that I spend time with, I mean, have been a part of this process in helping me become who I am. And that's when I found my salvation. Okay, and I found my Lord. Let's go next a little bit here. Am I talking too fast? Okay, because I talk really, really, really fast. All right, let me see here. My nose, I got to go through my nose. Beautiful. All right, so with this, hang on one second here. It's saying loading, Andy, on one slide. It's just like loading, loading, loading. Should I click it again? Okay, that's fine. All right, guys, so again, I don't come to know who Jesus Christ is unless people tell me who Jesus Christ is. Because otherwise, I would just sat there in my apartment drinking my whatever and on my computer all the time, and I never would have known any different. Now, I knew Jesus existed, you know, I mean, I knew that, you know, but as far as like the desire to develop that relationship and to you know, get to know him, no, I'm good. You know what? Because guess what Sunday is? Sunday's football day, right? Back then, Sunday's football day. I could go to church, but man, pregame starts at 8:30. 4.5 hours of pregame. I'm gonna miss it if I go to church. Not the way it's supposed to be, right? But that's where I was. Okay, that's where I was. But then, oh, thank you, sir. But then people started to tell me about Jesus Christ. And guys, this is where the Great Commission comes in, and this is where we're going to be spending a lot of our time today. You know, I know you guys know the Great Commission. I'm sure we've talked about it in church before. But just kind of a reminder. Okay, I'm going to read it, then I'm going to kind of break it down just a little bit. And this is Jesus talking now. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Absolutely. Those are Jesus' words, right? Because he had been risen from the dead, and then he's walking around, and he's doing these things for 40 days on the earth, and before he ascends into heaven, this is what he tells his disciples. He says, go.
He didn't say, go after the Browns lose today. Okay? He didn't say, go a little bit later on when it's convenient. He said, go. Here you go. Go. Okay? And make disciples of all nations. That word disciples is what we're spending our time on today. Understanding what that really, truly means. And then baptizing them, of course, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that Jesus taught us. Now, sometimes what we do, and I'm very guilty of this, you think you go about making disciples and you share the word of God, but you go up to someone and you say, hey, have you heard about Jesus? He saved me. He's awesome. Hey, cool. See you later. Right? And then you leave. And so you've told them about Jesus, but what happened then? You don't know what happened then. Because we got to make disciples. It's about more than just sharing the word, which, although it's good, obviously spreading the word, it's about making disciples. And that's what we need to talk a lot about today. Because guess what? Let me see if I can do this. Woo! Every disciple is a believer, but not every believer is a disciple. And it's important. Now, that as I was researching for what I was going to talk about today, that really stuck with me. And it stuck with me for this reason. So you think about a disciple. Every single disciple out there of Jesus Christ is a believer. They believe in Jesus Christ. But not everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is a disciple. So we have to understand fully then, what's the difference? Okay, what's the difference? Well, here comes the difference. Oops, there we go. To be a disciple is to allow every facet of one's life to be forever changed and shaped by the life of Jesus Christ. Okay, because you can, and it's great to believe in Jesus Christ. Absolutely, that's not what I'm not saying anything about, no, well, that's not good. No, I'm just saying now we go further. We believe, but now we change. And our life becomes something so different. Every facet, everything about you, everything about your life is changed and shaped by Jesus. It is a desire to become more like Jesus Christ. And that's really, really important. Because there are people who believe, but that's kind of where it ends. Okay? It's about taking your life to that next step. Or it's about, you know, there are people who and I talk to teens a lot about this, who when they come to church on Wednesday or Sunday, you know, they understand and they hear God's word and all that is good, but then they go off and you know, they're away from church and so they forget. And it's not about being like Jesus. It's just about, what did I learn in church that day? And we got to be able to do both, okay? Allow everything of our life to be transformed. Everything to be changed. Bloop. Beautiful. A disciple will seek to walk, talk, and act like Jesus Christ. And more so than that, this next part, come on. You live it, you breathe it, you show it, and because you do, everyone else knows it. One of the things I've talked to the teens a lot about lately, and I'll reference them a lot just because I spend so much time with them. One of the things I've talked to them about lately is I said, if somebody were to walk in your classroom, would they know you were a believer in Jesus Christ? And then, because that can be a little bit iffy, like, well, maybe you walk in, you wouldn't be sure. So then the follow-up question is, would they know if you weren't? So if somebody walks into the room and they see how you act and how you walk and how you talk and how you behave, do they know you're not a follower? Because you're not doing the things that Jesus Christ would do. Okay, a great thing is if you are so filled with the love of Jesus Christ, and you want so much to be like him that people who don't know you can see you and know you are different. It's a good thing to have. You're different. You're different. What's so different about you? Why are you so calm in these situations? Well, what is it about you that is so different and unique? You got this peace about you. That's the peace of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the peace of Jesus Christ. Everyone else knows it because of how you live your life. Well, that's kind of what radical discipleship to a point is. It's about being so ingrained in wanting to know Jesus and wanting to help other people to know Jesus. And again, folks, it's not just going and saying, Jesus is awesome. Here's a Bible. See you later. It's about let's build relationships. It's about loving each other. It's about wanting to help each other through these situations. Let's talk about what it is not. And I'm guilty of this. I'll tell you this. I'm very guilty of this. Okay, radical discipleship is not just coming to church. Coming to church is awesome. I love coming to church. I told my wife I'd live here if I could. I love coming to church, but it's not just about coming to church. You can come to church and you can hear a message and that's great, but it's more than that, okay? So it's gotta be about more than coming to church. Discipleship is not just about going to men's breakfast. It's actually not this Saturday. I just found that on the internet. It's not this Saturday, but it's not just about going to men's breakfast. Although men's breakfast is cool, you get free food, right? Or sometimes throw in a couple of dollars. Yeah, everybody. Yeah, the teens are like, woohoo, free food. It's about more than that, okay? It's about more than just gathering together and eating. It's about what are you sharing? What are you talking to each other about? What are you bearing to each other? And that's where things are difficult. Wait, there's more things that it's not. It is not. That's right. It is not. Just coming to youth group, teens, okay? It's not just coming to youth group. It's not just showing up on Wednesday, playing a silly game, hearing a message, and getting in real deep that night, and then walking away and forgetting everything that we've talked about. It's more than that, okay? It's far more than that. It's not just about singing songs, although singing songs of praise are fantastic. It's about more than that. Notice I'm kind of going through the things that we do as a church, like activities and things we got going on. You know, whether we come to church on Sunday or we go to youth group on Wednesday or we're singing songs or we're getting together for men's breakfast. It's so much more than that. That's supposed to be a cat. It says, I has a money, what will I do with it? Or something like that. It's not just about tithing either. Okay, it's not just about tithing, although tithing helps pay the bills. Okay, so what I'm saying is, just because maybe you come to church once in a while, or you come to youth group once in a while, or you stand up and you sing a song, or you tithe occasionally, or whatever the situation, doesn't necessarily mean you are a full-fledged radical disciple of Jesus Christ. It means you're doing some of the things that we do, but where is our life? Where are those relationships for our life? Oh, I gotta include this too, just because it happens a lot. It is also not bumper stickers. Okay, it says, are you following Jesus this close? Okay, it's not just bumper stickers, and it's not just t-shirts. Okay, I gotta tell you, and the reason why I thought of this slide and the inclusion of the whole t-shirt analogy, I got this t-shirt, I wore it one day a couple weeks ago to use. This is brown t-shirt, it says Team Jesus, Live Life for Christ. And I wore that for a reason, because there was a time in my life I was like, I'm gonna put this shirt on, I'm gonna go to Walmart. You're welcome, God. I have just shared the gospel with people. I have made an impact. No, you haven't. Okay, no, you haven't. I mean, those things are cool. Don't get me wrong. I mean, hey, when I pass a car and I see that they have a bumper sticker about Jesus Christ, I love it. I love hearing that. When I see people wearing shirts professing their love for Jesus Christ, I absolutely positively love that. But it's not just that. And like I said, that's where I was. I mean, if I wore that shirt, one time I went for a walk down Maple Avenue, I put that shirt on for a reason. Jesus, right? But it's more than just doing something along those lines, okay? It is what we call something that is a transformation, okay? It is transformation. You get saved, you develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you are forever transformed. And we learn this from the Bible because, boy, I really did do that multiple times, didn't I? Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Teens, who wrote Corinthians? Thank you. Okay, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's a transformation. See, as God's worked on me over time, you know, I've come to realize I've transformed, maybe even in little ways, I've transformed. I used to think wearing that shirt was enough. Wearing that shirt's enough to share the gospel with people. You know, or I tell people, I go to church, Jesus is awesome. Okay? I used to think that was enough. I know now it's nowhere near enough. It's a good start, but it's got to be more. Okay, it has to be so much more. We have to shift our focus from what we sometimes do, because you know what? It's kind of scary to go out there and share the gospel with people, isn't it? Because what are we worried about? Yeah. We're worried if we go up to somebody at Walmart, or not to pick on Walmart, okay, let's go, Rural King, that place. You go up to somebody and you're like, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? We're so worried that someone's going to be like, oh, you religious fanatic. How dare you try to talk to me about that? Or they're going to try to shy away from you. We're worried about rejection. We're worried about judgment. And we shouldn't be. You know, the Great Commission, Jesus didn't say, only go if you think they're not going to say anything to you about it. He said, go, share the word. And in doing so, making disciples. All right, so check this out. I said, check this out. All right, radical discipleship then, what this is, it's surrendering to Jesus Christ, right? So when you surrender, what do? Hands up, right? Hands up. Okay, you are surrendering, which means, you know what? Everything. Everything to Jesus Christ. Okay, you know that the house you got is because of Jesus Christ. You know the life you got is because of Jesus Christ. And you know that if he tells you to give it up in a moment, you will. Complete, yeah, your Xbox. Yeah, complete and total surrender. Right? Complete and total surrender. Taking what you've got because you know it came from God and being willing at any moment in time to give it all right back. If he says go, you go. If he says sell it, you sell it because he's Jesus and he's in charge. Living in complete obedience, that goes the same thing. Obedience, he says it, you do it. You're listening. Okay, we've talked before, teens and I, about how much we sometimes fight God. God says, I want you over here doing this. And we're like, no, I'm not good enough to do that. I'm not smart enough. I'm not brave enough. I can't do that, God. I'll stay over here where it's nice and safe, and you can find somebody else to fill that role. We've seen that in the Bible many times. Moses was a good example, right? Guys, where we sometimes we're not obedient, we're not listening. Okay, either sometimes it's because we don't think we can, or sometimes because we don't want to. But if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you surrender to him, you are in complete obedience. He says go, you go. If he says do this, you do this. You don't question, you just do. Because you have so much faith and trust in him. He is God. And you rely on the Holy Spirit to fulfill the will of God. Okay, that little voice you hear inside your head. Okay, if you know Jesus Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, and he's telling you the way to live your life and what it is that you need to do. Okay, but with radical discipleship, there's still even more, right? Because what we oftentimes do is like we have our religion, we have our thing that we do, and we want to do it by ourselves, right? I'll come over here in this room and I'll pray. I've got my sin, but I can't share it with any of you because you guys are all going to think less of me. We all sometimes feel that way, don't we? We're like, you know what? I did something terrible. But if any of these people knew it, they wouldn't like me anymore. They would think so little of me. They'd hate me. Well, guys, guess what? We all what? We all sin. Every one of us. But we need to be able to be willing to share that with people. But I guess why? Why would you share your sin with people? I'm waiting for an answer. You want to tell me? What? Ah, that they can, thank you, Nash, that they can help you deal with it. Because when we fall, guess what? Other people have fallen too. When we stumble over some of the same things that other people have stumbled too. And so by building a relationship with our fellow people, we help them step by step through these issues. Okay? So it's about fulfilling the will of God. And how do we do this? We do it in a couple of key ways. Hold on. We have to shift. Four shifts, actually. We have to shift from reaching to making. We have to shift from reaching to making. Okay, and the focus is not so much now then on, I told you I kind of wander a little bit. The focus is not so much on reaching people, although that's key and that's significant and that's important. But it's on making disciples. Okay, like I said, oftentimes we're like, we'll share the gospel with someone or think we've done something good for God in someone's life, and then we just kind of leave them alone. We're like, well, we've shared the word. How about it? But what happens then? We don't know at that point. We've kind of put them out there by themselves and said, okay, we told you about Jesus, go! Where's their support system? Because you know what? If they're starting to follow God, guess who's going to come after them a little bit? Satan, right? And he's going to try to stop them, and he's going to try to get them off their path, and he's going to try to make them not want to serve like they were serving before. And so we need to make disciples. Let's go, boom, beautiful. And this is a lovely little graphic. Be disciples, make disciples. Be disciples, make disciples. So when you're a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ, you don't just share the word. Do more than that, okay? Get in with people. And it's one of the other shifts we have coming up here I'm going to talk about quite a bit. But we don't just tell people, we help them along the way, okay? There's a difference between a believer and a disciple. A disciple is somebody who wants to make more disciples. Look at it this way. Whenever Jesus had his 12 disciples and he told them to go, okay, they went forth and they spread the word, and they spread the word so they could make those people understand what an awesome, awesome guy Jesus Christ is. And so then they wanted those people then to go forth and share the word even more. Okay, it's about spreading the word, and guys, you know, obviously it's a movement. It is sharing the word and telling people and getting people out there to talk more about him and get them to understand what it's like to be with him. So let's look at this. Hold on. We have to shift from just teaching to modeling. We show people how to live the life. And folks, I can't emphasize enough how much it's about if somebody is struggling, we get in there with them, we talk to them, we share with them. You need to be willing and able to open up to one another. And that's not easy sometimes, especially guys. Guys have a hard time opening up, don't they? Guys don't like to share their feelings necessarily. Okay, but we need to. And we need to tell each other what we're going through and what we're suffering through, because that's how we get through it together. Okay, so we have to change from just connecting with people to transforming people, to transforming our relationships. And this is partially where our community groups come into play, at least a little bit. Notice what it says here. DRB community groups, don't get lost in the crowd. Life is better together. Life is better together. Because you know what? If I have this sin or I have this terrible thing that's going on in my life, I feel so alone. Isn't it nice to know you're not alone? Isn't it nice to know that somebody else who's been through that situation can help you? Who's been through some of the same problems you've been through? Who stumbled over the same things you've stumbled over? That they can help you? That they can come with you and say, listen, I know what you're going through. Let me help you. Or if you are struggling with something, let's say you're struggling with pornography, to be able to call up somebody and say, look, I am really struggling with this. I need help. Can you talk me through it? Can you pray with me? Can you help me? So again, we need to shift the emphasis from just sharing the word to making people disciples by getting them ready to be able to do the same thing for other people. Okay, community groups, a really good way of doing that. Got this slide up here. When we think about transforming, guys, when we get into these groups, you know, of a couple of friends, and I'll tell you what, I had a little bit of experience with this because, you know, I'm usually with all the teens together, and, you know, and sometimes when we're in the same room together and we're trying to have a conversation, doesn't work out so well. You guys know, right? Doesn't work out so well because some people are talking over other people and trying to get things to you know, their point across and whatever else, and sometimes the message just gets a little bit lost. Well, during our lock-in that we had on Sunday night, I was able to at least pull the boys and talk to them for about an hour and kind of get a little bit of their perspective on stuff, and then pull the girls, talk to them for about 45 minutes to an hour, get their perspectives on stuff. You know, and there are things that boys are willing to share in front of other boys, but not in front of girls. And there are things girls are willing to share in front of other girls, but not in front of the boys. I will tell you, it was quite a learning experience for me. Because what I found out, this is a little side note, but what I found out is that boys and girls all have the same problems and concerns. It's each other, right? All the boys' issues are the girls. All the girls' issues are the boys. Amen, yeah. But I will tell you, the girls are far more violent in how they approach things than the boys. Men, be forewarned. Because the boys were like, you know, I really don't like it when this happens. And then, and the girls were like, oh no, he didn't! And they were ready to throw down. But you know what though? But I think that it was, they were more productive conversations because they were small groups. People were willing to open up. People were willing to share. People were willing to be vulnerable. And vulnerability is scary. But we need to, with each other. I need to be able to be vulnerable with you. You guys need to be able to be willing to be vulnerable with each other or with me or whatever. Because you know what? I think we helped each other at least a decent amount when we were in those small groups. And I'm also trying to do something with the teens where maybe I can take one or two of them out to lunch every so often and just sit down and talk. Because you know what? Some people are really willing to open up in front of just a couple. And not so much maybe in front of a bunch of people. Now, this picture that I got up here, really what this is about, and I don't know if this is from a movie or just a depiction or whatever else, but this is whenever Jesus came across the young lady about to be stoned. And we all know what he said, right? Let those of you who have not sinned cast the first stone. And the reason why I put this up here when talking about this is because, again, people, whenever we're sharing about ourselves, we're like, if I tell people my sin, they're gonna think horrible things about me. Well, folks, every one of us is a sinner, okay? And so when we get into groups and we try to help each other and we try to foster and nurture relationships, it shouldn't be about worrying that somebody is going to be throwing daggers at you because, oh, I know what you did now. No. Okay, it's about, wow, you're going through that? Me too. Oh, you went through that? I'm going through it now. Can you help me? And being able to lead each other and help each other, Lord, as we get closer to Jesus Christ, that happens, that transformation, that a big, huge transformation takes place. We know that when we're saved, obviously, our life is forever changed, but as we get closer and closer, sometimes it's helpful to have people to walk through it with you. And that's what making disciples is about. So, John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And so, folks, it's about building relationships, right? But doing so and being willing to not be complacent about it, being willing to be all in about it. And notice what this says here. Okay, talking about servants and masters. I call you friends, for all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And so as Christians, as people who love Jesus Christ, We need to be assisting each other, helping each other as we're going through these tough times. I have shared everything my father, everything I've heard from my father, I have made known to you. If you have experience in something and you know someone's going through something, go on over next to them and lend them a hand. If you see someone is crying, okay, don't walk by them and say, well, they're having an issue. Put your arm around them. Let me tell you how we can comfort you. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ says. It's about helping each other through those tough times. And folks, you build so many close relationships in doing so, and you work well together. And here's what I mean. We had, at Philo, we had this freshman class last year. Wait, Trey was in that class, weren't you, Trey? There you are. We had a freshman class last year, and what we heard with them coming in was they were absolutely the worst class you were ever going to see. They're terrible. You will not be able to wait to get rid of them because they're these horrible, horrible people. And so we went in all prepared for the worst. Well, just so happened, it was the best year I've had in a very, very long time. Calm down, Nash. Calm down. Okay, it was the best year I had in a very large, long time. And you know, we sat down with them at the end of the year and we said, why? Everything we heard was so negative, negative, negative. Why was this such a good year? And they said, because you listened to us, because you talked to us, because you treated us with respect, you treated us with dignity, and we knew it was okay to tell you if we've done something wrong. And guys, I kind of take that and apply it to this situation here. That's how disciples are made, right? Not that those kids I had last year are my disciples, of course, but that's how disciples are made. You get in with them. You share with them. You respect them. You listen to them. When they have a problem, when they have a pain, when they have something that is just driving them crazy, whether it's something in their life or something that is a sin or whatever the situation might be, you're there. Because you want to help them along the way. Okay, this is not a race we want to run by ourselves. We want to bring everybody along with us, however it is that we can. Last shift. And then I have a demonstration and I might get myself electrocuted, just so you all know. Yes, I heard yes from the back. I heard yes. He might get electrocuted. All right, last shift. The shift should be from attracting people to deploying people. And by that, what we mean is not just attracting somebody to the church, you know, or attracting them to the Bible, but all that's good. All that's very good. But deploying. When people are deployed, if they're in the military, when they're deployed, what happens? Yeah, you go to war. You're sent out. You go to war. Exactly right. Thank you, sir. Okay, so you go from attracting to deploying. And so, yes, bring people into the church. Share with them the word of God. Absolutely. But what we really need to do is be preparing everybody to go out beyond these walls, to do as Jesus said, to make disciples, to fight the war. We need to be getting people ready. This is the example when I was researching this, I thought it was a great example. It made so much sense to me. Lovely picture of the Columbus Regional Airport Authority. I don't know. It's in there somewhere. I guess maybe that's it. I don't know. But I found this online. And it's an example of an airport. And the example that was given was, when you go to an airport, do you go just to hang out? Who hangs out at an airport? All the teams are like, woo. No. Okay, when you go to an airport, you go for a reason, right? Because you're going places. You're going here. You're going there. You're going to get on your plane. You're going to go over here. You're going to take care of that. That's what we should be doing, right? Because instead of just coming to church, which again is fantastic, we need to be readying ourselves because you know what? We go out there. And this is a nice, safe place in here. We go out there and it's different. I've talked to the teens so many times. I mean, one of the hardest places it has to be to go as a Christian is school. School, right? Because people there are just ready at a moment's notice. I've seen it time and time again. The drama that occurs, the things people say to each other, the things people do to each other, they're walking into a very hostile environment. We all are. We walk out these doors, we're in a hostile environment. We need to be ready to go. We need to be ready to share our word, not our word, God's word, but our sin and everything that we have, the experience that we've gotten from our time learning to know the Lord. We need to be able to share that and tell people. You know what? I mean guys, I told you guys stuff when I first walked up here that I don't know if I ever told my wife. I don't know that I ever did. You know, the pornography from 2 in the afternoon until I went to bed, and you know, the strip clubs in Akron. I don't know if I've ever told my wife that. Have I, Shelley? Nope. Okay. But anyway, so we need, guys, and you know what? But that's important because right there, that's my testimony. That's the guy that I was. That's the stuff I spent my time doing, and now I'm up here in front of you on a Sunday morning. That's a testimony of God and how amazing he is and the way he changes people. Okay. Thank you, Nash. So if we can do that, if we can step out of our comfort zone, and really there shouldn't even be a comfort zone anymore, we should just be able to step up to people and be like, you want to understand, here's the person that I was, here's the person that I now am, and it's all because of him. Amen. Right? Amen. That's what we need to be able to do. So guys, we need to get ourselves to that point that we are able to go out and do that. It's not easy. It's not easy, but you know what? It starts here, and it starts with our relationships with one another. It starts with us getting used to sharing with each other, loving one another, helping each other through the tough times and even the good times. And we go out there and we tell them how it is. And we tell them what God's done for us. Okay? Last thing I want to do as I close, and then we'll pray. And I keep pushing this button. Got a lovely picture. Okay. Join me if you would. I know I put all these Bible verses up here, but join me in Matthew 5. In your Bible, please. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Like I said, here's where my demonstration comes in, and if I electrocute myself. I told Jenny earlier, I said, have 911 on standby. She said, I'll have a camera. So I don't know if this is going to work out or not. All right, Matthew 5, verse 13, and we're going to go through 16. Let me read it to you. This is Jesus talking. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus says to be the salt and to be the light, and to share the word with others. And everybody will be able to see that through you and be able to give glory to God. Well, with this, we'll see how this goes. This is a very fantastic thing called a conductivity apparatus. If you look at it closely, it looks like it's from like 1930-something. It's old. These little things right here are like dangling off the back. Basically, there is a light bulb, there are wires, and there are these two electrodes on the back. This thing, I'm going to plug it in to the power source. And I think we probably know this. Oh, thank you, sir. This might be necessary in case this should happen to be an issue. But in order for electricity, and actually, you know, let me move this a little bit so everybody can kind of see better. For electricity to flow, what do we need to have? Come on. Power, a complete circuit. So if I were foolish, and I have done this before, and grabbed these two electrodes at the same time, I have completed the circuit and electricity will flow through my body. That's neither here nor there. Okay, but let's go back to what Jesus had said about being the salt and also being the light. So I got this lovely glass jar. What I'm going to do is Careful. Oh, God. Okay, I put the electrodes down in the glass jar. Let me make sure we're plugged in. We look good. Otherwise, this is not going to work. All right, so I'm just going to add some water. The electrodes are hanging out down in the water right now. I'm going to add some salt. Not that you care about the scientific explanation, but when the salt dissolves, it turns into ions, and ions conduct electricity, and so on and so forth. So I'm going to add a little bit of salt. Okay, now, I've added a little bit of salt. A little bit of salt. And the light is on. Okay? But if I add more salt, what's going to happen to the light? Should get brighter. No, it's not going to blow up, guys. Sorry. Guys in the back are like, pow! No, it is not going to happen. But if I add more salt, we should be able to get it to glow even brighter. I could spend all day pouring salt, but we'll just leave it like that. All right, so I guess what with this analogy, what I want you to understand, he says, be these, right? Be the salt and be the light. But it's not just enough just to wear the shirt, have the bumper sticker. You know, I'm sharing, my light's shining a little bit. He's saying, no, be the salt and be the light so that everybody can see it. So don't just go halfsies. Go all in. Lots of salt, lots of brightness, right? And a light that's far easier for people to see. And so guys, I guess in closing, the point is that radical discipleship is really, it's about taking it to the next level. It's about not just sharing the word, but again, as I've said 1,000 times already today, that's really important to do, obviously. But don't just share the word and then send somebody off and not hear from them again. You know, make disciples. Tell them, I'm here for you. Tell them, the road's not going to be easy. Tell them, when you are in sin, let's talk. Let's pray. Let's pray together. And oftentimes we struggle with that, praying together even. Help each other along this path because this journey is a long journey. And Satan is going to try to make you stumble along the way. But if there are people with you who love you, bless you, who love you and care about you, you can get through it together because you can be the salt and you can be the light and you can shine brightly for the world.